This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the People Speak Radio Show. Once again, this is Charles Giuliani filling in for Basima, who has, as many of you know, been back the past, what, 2-3 weeks? I forget now how many weeks, but, you know, she's definitely on the mend. She still needs to take a few breaks here and there, but thank heavens she recovered from her heart attack and, you know, she'll be coming back on periodically. And when she's not here, I'll be filling in from time to time still. But anyway, very important guest tonight, Dr. Gladys McGarry, MD. She's known as the mother of holistic and integrated medicine. She's also co-founder of the American Holistic Medical Foundation. She's also the author of three books, The Physician Within You, Born to Live, and Living Medicine. And so I'm pleased to introduce her, and I'm sure she's going to have a lot of very important things to share with us. Of all the topics we talk about on this show, this has got to be certainly the top two or three, if not the most important. Your health is everything. If you don't have it, you got nothing. If you have it, you've got everything. You know, I would have to argue actually the most important subject for each of us individually. And unfortunately, most people don't have it today. Anyway, so with no further ado, let's welcome Dr. Gladys McGarry. Welcome, Doctor.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
And I'm sure you would agree, health really is the single most important thing in people's lives, and it's something that people kind of take for granted. They don't often take it very serious. They think that they can eat anything they want as much as they want, and don't realize that there are going to be repercussions. You can't. That might not affect you today or tomorrow, but sooner or later, it's gonna come back and bite you.
Well, and the way we live is our body is dependent on the way we live, and who we are is dependent on the way we live. So, if we just take everything very casually and don't take care of our most precious gifts, then they corrode and they get sick. So I think it's very important that we do pay attention to it and that we not live in fear. So much of what happens in our lives is controlled by fear. In fact, you know, I've been in this field ever since 1946. That gives you an idea of how long I've been working with this. And that was just all of my medical training was during the war. And when I got out of medical school, I found I was still feeling like we were at war, because the more I learned, and it's still going on, the medicine that is taught in medical school and that was taught during that time is all about killing diseases. The whole focus is on getting rid of. And so we kill bacteria, eradicate AIDS, eliminate diabetes. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that's our whole focus, then we have a problem. About 10 years ago or so, I was talking to some friends of mine and going on like this, saying, you know, what we're dealing with is a war machine. Everything that is focused towards killing is that. Even our language is against life itself. It's antibiotics, anticonvulsants. Yep. And the one that really gets me is the anti-aging thing. Now, come on, what are we supposed to do? It's the whole idea being that we're against life itself. And our support groups are cancer support groups, epilepsy support groups, not people support groups. And I was going on like this talking to my friends, and then I stopped suddenly. And I said, you know, instead of killing medicine, I think what we really need is living medicine.
Yeah.
If you're alive, you're going to know it. You're going to be aware of it, hopefully. And your focus is going to be on life itself, not on the disease. Not that you don't have to pay attention to the disease, but that's not your primary focus.
Right.
And when you begin to start thinking differently like that, then things change. Your perspective changes. What life's all about changes. I remember a patient of mine had lung cancer. She was dying of lung cancer. And she called me. She'd had all the chemo and the radiation and so on. She called me up one day and she said, you know, they tell me that I need a blood transfusion. I don't want it. And I said, and why not? And she said, because I'm afraid. She said, I'm afraid of AIDS and hepatitis. Of course, it was silly because she's dying of lung of cancer, but she's afraid of AIDS and hepatitis. But, you know, fear isn't silly. Fear is immobilizing. And so I tried to talk to her about the possibility of her not having AIDS and hepatitis from a blood transfusion, and nothing made any sense until finally I said to her, you know what a blood transfusion is? There's somebody in this world who loved you enough to give their life blood for you. That's what a blood transfusion is. So when she was able to take her focus off of the fear of the disease and put her focus onto love and life, she was able to get the blood transfusion. It made her life till she died easier. It didn't cure her or anything, but it changed how the rest of her life was lived. So it's that kind of a paradigm shift that I think is pivotal to really understanding what healing is all about. And it has to do with how we take care of ourselves. It also has to do with what we want to live for, what our whole life is all about.
And it's not only important for us as individuals, but, you know, especially if you have kids, you want to instill this in them, you know, to take care of themselves beginning very early, because a lot of diseases that come on in adult life actually begin very early on if we have a consistent pattern of not taking care of ourselves, you know, abusing ourselves, not only with bad diet, but poor sedentary lifestyle. You know, this is something that needs to be lifelong.
Yeah, yeah. And we need to take care of the whole ourselves, even during pregnancy and so on. And the whole life force is life itself is what is important.
Right. And people, again, they take that for granted.
Mm-hmm.
They go to whatever restaurant appeals to them. You know, I like the taste of that food, you know, with no concern about what's in it. How is it made? What's it prepared with? You know, what kind of artificial ingredients? No concern at all. Even in the grocery store where you at least have the labels that you can read. People don't even bother reading it. They just take it for granted that this stuff is, quote, food. And a great deal of it isn't food.
Yeah. We take life so casually and don't realize what a precious thing it is.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm very intrigued by naturopathic healing methods. It's something so rare. This is what all doctors should be trained with. Today, it's either the scalpel or the pharmaceutical. The pharmacy that they send you to, and that's the cure-all for everything. You know, oh, I got a pill for that, I got a pill for this. People don't even question it, when in reality, there's no such thing as a medication that's good for you. I'm not saying that there aren't meds out there that can help people in extreme cases, but that should be a last resort, not a first one.
The problem is, if your whole focus is towards a disease, then your focus is getting rid of stuff. If your focus is towards life, then it's building, and our bodies know how to get rid of diseases. We have within our own system the whole ability to get rid of things that go wrong with us if we pay attention to us. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't times when surgery is necessary. It doesn't mean that there aren't times when medications are necessary. But if the first thing that you do is think about how you can get rid of something instead of what I can do to enhance my life so that I have the strength and the power to work with, even if we have to use surgery, even if we have to have medications, it's our responsibility to do the healing. You know, I've watched beautiful jobs of surgery that haven't healed. I've watched botched up jobs of surgery that have healed very well. So the question is, who's doing the healing?
Right.
And if we don't take our responsibility upon ourselves to help with the healing process, doctors can't heal us. We heal ourselves. Doctors are here. As a physician, my job is to work with my patient in the healing process. That's my job. Not to expect me to do all the healing, because I can't. I can do what I can do. I can do what I'm trained to do. I can do what I work well with. But then I need to support the patient as they do their own healing.
Yeah, they have to take
it. It's a shift in consciousness about what healing's all about.
Sure. And if you're not giving the body the things that it needs to heal its own
self,
how can you expect it to heal? You know, and again, this is what most people are oblivious to. In fact, when you go to the mainstream medical professionals, most of the time they're going to give you substances, you know, pharmaceuticals, that are actually going to rob the body of the ability to heal itself. For example, as I'm sure you know, the antibiotics absolutely destroy the body's immune system. There's your body's own built-in defense mechanism now disarmed by antibiotics, and there goes any chance of your body healing itself. You've opened yourself up now to...
If a person has to have some antibiotics to stay alive, if they do the things if they do the things like do some probiotics and so on to support their life, they can deal with that. It's a matter of knowing what you can do to support your whole healing system. Right. And our bodies are so awesome. I mean, I'm in constant awe of the healing that the human body can do.
Right.
As long as it's given support, as long as it's helped, and we've given
I'm not trying to downplay the role of antibiotics. They do save lives, especially elderly people. You know, goodness gracious, if they get pneumonia or something, or bacterial pneumonia, that's vital. But, you know, a young kid, 5-6 years old, whose immune system is working fine, they get the sniffles, so put them on antibiotics right away. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. Let their own body's immune system fight it off. Feed them foods that are going to enrich them and strengthen their immune system so their bodies can fight it off. And next time, their immune system will be stronger, so it'll be able more easily to resist. They might not even get sick next time around. Whereas if you give them the antibiotics, it's going to weaken their immune system. They'll get more sick the next time that the germ comes around. You know, everything is backwards.
Yeah, there's some wonderful things like garlic oil that help with ear infections and that sort of thing, too. There's a lot of things that really help with the whole healing process that do enhance the immune system along with the healing it.
Sure.
It's a great life, isn't it?
Sure is. Tell me one thing in particular that I wanted you to elaborate on. My girlfriend was recently diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and I understand that that's one area that you're particularly proficient in. You deal with a lot of patients who have this. So I was wondering what kind of alternative treatments, therapies that you've used successfully to help people deal with it or even cure it.
Well, that's a very complicated problem. Diabetes is something that is not just
one size fits all.
Insulin and so on. I mean, there are so many issues dealing with this, the whole immune, the whole glandular system, the whole pancreas, the way the pancreas is dealt with, and so on. Excuse me. It really, I think it's too too complicated to get into on a program like this. I would, it, and you know something, too, that I think is really important here, and that is that everybody's particular illness is their own particular illness. So when a person has diabetes or cancer or hepatitis or anything, that is their own particular way of dealing with that particular disease. And one of the problems that we have when we're just getting rid of diseases and not working with healing people is we tend to think that we will, that every disease will respond the same way
right.
to therapy. So the protocol that works for one person doesn't work for the next person.
Yeah, I can
and
vouch for
even
that.
The protocol that works for a person when they're at this age may not work for them 10 years later. So
right.
it's not something that can be just proscribed because
no magic
it's
bullet.
The disease.
Yeah, I can personally attest to that because on the regular show that I do, I recommend herbal supplements all the time, and I talk about miraculous results that I've had with this, that, or the other herb. And then, you know, I've had a lot of people call in and agree, yeah, I've tried it, it works great. But I've also had some people call in and say, hey, I've used it, and it didn't do this for me, and like you said, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And, but, well, yeah, it's true. What they don't realize is, okay, that particular herb probably, for whatever reason, didn't do you good. Maybe you need to look into something else that will work for you, because everybody has different genetics. Everybody has, they might have similar symptoms, but the cause is different for them. So that particular herb that helped me isn't going to help them, because what's causing their problem, even though the symptoms might be similar, it's something else. So they need a different type of treatment for that, or you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is very complex. There isn't one fix it all, all encompassing remedy that you can say is going to work with everybody. You got to look at each individual case, no question.
Yeah, and each person has to do their own process.
Right. Try different things and you know,
right.
Consult different natural paths.
And be aware of what your body is telling you. I'm, again, in awe of what the human body lets us know about what's going on within us. It's if we as people really pay attention to what our body is saying, we can get a lot of information about what we can do to help ourselves.
Sure. You got to look for those signs. Even pain is actually,
yeah.
You know, people, nobody likes pain, but you got to pay attention to that. It's your body's telling you something. You're doing
pain
something
wrong.
Pain
is a messenger.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And a lot of times people, for whatever reason, maybe just simple fear, they ignore it. But, you know, you can't do that because down the line, something else is going to happen or the situation is going to get worse to the point where might not be able to reverse it. You know, you got to address it right away. I know a lot
yeah.
of people who do that. They'll tell me, oh, I get trouble with this or that, the other. And I'm like, you should go get checked. It might not be anything, but you want to make sure, you know, you don't want to find out 2-3 years down the line that you got a terminal illness that you could have remedied much more easily if you had addressed it early on, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely want to keep an open ear and an open eye for you. You know, you'll, signals like that from your body. Anyway, we got some questions coming in via text here. Did you want to address some of these? Or?
Sure.
Okay, we've got Atreides, sounds like a Greek name here, in the UK. He says, do you think that Reiki aura repair, are you familiar with this? And chi energy. Reiki aura repair and chi energy should be incorporated into mainstream medicine.
Well, I think Reiki is a wonderful tool that people have perfected in many different ways. And aside from, I don't know of ways in which it has been incorporated into mainstream medicine, but I think it will be. I know that for a long time, therapeutic touch wasn't even considered a therapeutic modality, and yet what
a lot of hospitals now are
Dolores
using it.
Krieger and the therapeutic touch nurses have done is absolutely amazing. They have been able to help people with the healing process and help with pain and so on. It's
sure.
So, but Reiki is a great tool. A lot of good healing comes from Reiki.
Sure. You had a second part to the question here. How much importance do you place on spiritual energy repair? I guess this kind of ties in with what you were just talking about in your personal work. Spiritual energy.
There's a basic statement that goes, spirit is the life, mind is the builder, and physical is the result. So I think the way I look at the whole healing process is that the life force, the chi, the prana, is the life force that keeps us alive. But as our mind that works with the life force to keep the physical or the body healthy or not healthy. So there has to be a body-mind-spirit connection, and the emotions tie right in with that. So we wouldn't be alive if we didn't have our spirit flowing through us. So when we try to disconnect from our spiritual nature, it's a very difficult thing. We can't do it, because if we disconnect from our spiritual nature, our body can't stay alive, because the spirit is the life, and the mind the builder, and the physical the result. So I hope that answers your question.
It's all interconnected.
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree. If you don't mind me asking, what kind of methods in this realm, well, again, I guess it would depend on each person, but, you know, do you recommend, you know, people getting in touch with, quote, what they identify as God, or do you think it's something that everybody is imbued with within? You know,
I think we all have within us our knowing of what is right for us. And I don't think I could ever tell someone else what their spiritual connection should be or what it is. I think I, as a spiritual being myself, feel I have my connection, and I support others as they find theirs. So it's not a matter for me to tell somebody that they need to believe what I believe. It just happens to work for me.
I'm a
Presbyterian and all of that, and that's just who I am. But that doesn't mean that everybody else has to be that.
Right. I agree. It's just like with, you know, what treatment works best for you. It's an individual thing. It depends on your circumstances, your background, you know, what has worked effectively for you before,
I agree. It depends on who you are and what you believe and what works for you.
Sure. Absolutely. Let's see. We've got another question here from Mike in California. He asks, have you had any experience or opinion about food-grade hydrogen peroxide taken orally, intravenously, or inhaled for treating, you know, various conditions such as cancer or lesser problems?
I think in the hands of a therapist who knows how to use those use hydrogen peroxide, it works very well. That's not an area of my expertise, but I think that in the people that know how to use it and use it well, it works.
I'm sure you'd say the same thing about, you know, acupuncture, for example. I know a lot of people.
Oh, acupuncture. Now, acupuncture, I like to talk about.
Oh, really? Is that something that you utilize?
Oh, yeah. We started working with acupuncture in the 60s, actually. There's kind of a neat story that goes with this, because had been writing a newsletter around the country, sharing with different people, and we got a letter from a mailman in Maine who said, you know, and the thing was that we had been using things like castor oil packs and so on, and had recommended those for various therapies. And this mailman says, I had an interesting thing. He said, I had injured my ankle, and it hasn't healed, and I'd been off work because he walked his route. He said, I've been off work for 3 months because my ankle didn't heal, and we just couldn't seem to get anywhere with it. He said, then I got a sore throat, and I put a castor oil pack around my neck, and my ankle got better. So he said, now, what in the world happened here? Well, my then husband and I were practicing together, and we didn't know, so we looked at that, and we thought, what in the world is this? Well, how could this happen? So the next letter that was sent out, and we had international communication, we said that, and we said, if anybody knows why this worked, please let us know. And we got a letter from a Dr. Urquhart in Italy who said, well, if you guys knew anything about acupuncture, you'd know that the bladder meridian starts up at the forehead and goes right down along the neck and right down the ankle. And when he removed the blockage, which was in his neck, in the neck, it helped his ankle. So that got us started with acupuncture. And we began communicating with people in Taiwan and different places around the world, and had the first acupuncture symposium in California in 1972. And from then on, it was it was just after Nixon had come back from China and was talking about acupuncture, and so all of a sudden acupuncture was something that was talked about, but it took about 15 years before it was talked about with any respect. It was considered pretty funky.
Yeah, it's always takes a long time for, you know, mainstream to catch up with independent thinkers.
You know, the stories that happen with all this are just really fun.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I've known several people that have utilized acupuncture quite successfully. I haven't tried it myself, mainly because I just have a paranoia about needles, even though I know it doesn't hurt. What's that?
Acupressure does good work, too, you know, so you don't... although the acupuncture is one way of doing it, some people get very good results from acupressure, too. So there are points in the body that are points that allow the healing energy to start moving, which has been blocked.
Sure. And there's no question that the body works that way. You know,
yes.
you'd have these pathways and that, yeah, I mean, people have undergone, as I'm sure you know, major surgery with no anesthetic, just the use of...
I've seen that.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely no pain, just putting a few needles here and there, and it blocks the transmission of pain to the brain. It's incredible. So, I mean, you know, it's scientific. How they figured this out thousands of years ago, this is a technique that's been known all through the centuries. How did they even figure this out? It's amazing. It's quite
amazing?
A complicated, amazing. You got to give them credit. And it's so sad that for the most part, you know, some people are coming along, but for the most part, mainstream medicine still is not aboard on this. Some are scattered here and there, but, you know, it's still for the most part.
Well, no, actually, Mayo Clinic is having acupuncturists come in, and different places they are actually, and there are medical schools around the country who are having it taught to the students and so on. So,
kidding. The Mayo Clinic. I didn't know that. That's encouraging.
It is encouraging, you know.
Well, as of what, the mid-90s, I guess it was, they're finally recognizing chiropractics for the longest time. You know,
uh-huh,
you couldn't get
uh-huh.
health insurance to cover that. How's things going with homeopathy and naturopathy with health insurance? Is there any light at the end of the tunnel for them with health insurance coverage?
The naturopaths have medical schools around the country now and have a very strong lobby in Washington. Homeopathy.
That's the way you got to go.
Huh?
That's the way you got to go. With you get a lobby group. Yeah. It's really the only way.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're working with that too, and homeopathy. We have a wonderful school of homeopathic medicine here in Phoenix, and Dr. Todd Rowe and Dr. Mary Grace Warner are MD physicians who are teaching homeopathy and doing a really good job. So homeopathy is beginning to be resurrected, because it used to be a very acceptable form of therapy. Hahnemann had the homeopathic college in Philadelphia.
Wow.
Before the war, and you know, it's homeopathy has been around a long time.
Sure.
Other countries, in England, it's very, very usable and very popular, and of course in India it is too, and in China, it around the world there are a lot of countries where, and Germany uses a lot of homeopathy, so it'll
happen. It's great. I mean, literally, we're coming full circle, because, like you said, this is very ancient. It had always worked. Mm-hmm. For mankind for thousands of years, and unfortunately we've fallen away from it, but people are finally realizing, hey, you know, we had it right to begin with. It's time to go back to what we had. I think we need to do that with a lot of things. But anyway, we got to cut for a short break here, but stick with us, folks. We'll be right back with Dr. Gladys McGarry. Stick with us.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. Thousands of sick and dying patients find marijuana effective as a medicine, including cancer, MS, and AIDS patients. 9 states have legalized its use. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
We teach them how to tie their shoes. They teach us how to live our lives. We teach them long division. They teach us how to bank online. Our children will always outgrow us. But for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children aged 6 to 11 has doubled. The percent of overweight teenagers tripled. Obesity kills. Heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, all are linked to obesity, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children live, where children will use them. Finding out how you can help is as easy as tying your shoes. Log on to earthshare.org now, a public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
This land is your land. This land is
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. We got some more questions here coming in for Dr. McGarry. Yeah, let's go to this is an interesting one. I think I was going to be coming around to this myself here before the end of the show at some point. Susan in Illinois asks, do you have any criticisms of the upcoming national health care system of Obama that's due to kick in 2014?
I'm glad you asked that question. When President Obama took office in January of 2009, within a few weeks, physicians around the country received a letter from him saying that he'd like to work with the health care reform, and he needed help from physicians. I think he's the first president who's asked for help from physicians. And when I heard that, we called together a group of physicians. We called it the Gathering of the Eagles, and we put together two papers that have been taken back, and they're being looked at. The interesting thing is, to me, is the fact that at least we have We've gotten this far. You don't deliver a baby and have a product that is ready to function. We at least have this far. We've gotten something that we can begin to work with. Now, to me, the idea of getting rid of it is just puts us way back where. If we take what we've got and work with it and correct it and make it so that it's a workable issue, then we've got a health care reform that will help us. Instead of trying, again, it's like getting rid of everything, like getting rid of diseases and so on. If our focus is getting rid of stuff instead of taking what we have and building on it and working with it and correcting it and making it so that it works for us, we're not serving ourselves. So my attitude towards this is, okay, we've got this far. We've got a newborn baby. Let's nurture it. Let's feed it. Let's find what works and work with it until we get the kind of healthcare product that we're looking for. And that's going to take work. And it's going to take work from physicians. It's going to take work from nurse practitioners. It's going to take work from healthcare people all over the place, plus the patients. So let's put our energy into fixing and correcting and building this and making it a product that is usable instead of getting rid of it and then having to start all over again. I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all to me. So
I hear you.
There's a lot that needs to be, you know, a lot of things that need to be corrected, but that doesn't make it bad. It makes it something that has to be worked with.
Right. I agree. Let's see. We got another. This is a really good question, and this probably isn't going to take 2 minutes to answer because it's pretty broad. But what are your thoughts on colloidal silver, copper, and gold in treating patients?
Colloidal silver is a wonderful antibiotic. It helps to work with killing bacteria, so it's good. Copper is a very, you know, these are elements, trace elements that our bodies need. And a kind of a fun thing about copper, if you get a bug bite, you take an old copper penny and put it on, it'll take the soreness right out of that bug bite.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard of that one.
Yeah, isn't that fun? You just put the copper penny on, and it has to be a copper penny, not one of the newer
ones. If you can find a copper penny anymore, right?
Well, hey, keep one around.
Yeah.
And then put it on the bite, and within 15 minutes, the inflammation is pretty well gone. So, copper. What was the other that they asked?
Gold?
Well, you know, gold has been used in many different forms since the beginning of time, and there are different ways of using it. These are elements that our body has always worked with and known, and so, yeah, it's we find ways of using these, and when they're used properly, people get results. Some people get results.
Sure. I can testify for colloidal silver myself. I've used it quite a bit, and
yeah,
it is a very effective antibiotic, and it doesn't destroy your body's immune system like antibiotics will do.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend that. It doesn't affect the healthy bacteria in your body. It only affects the harm. And in fact, it's useful against all microbes, isn't it? Viruses,
yeah,
as well.
It's very helpful.
Whereas antibiotics, they don't deal with viruses. They don't, but colloidal silver will. So, yeah, I highly recommend that. You can get that pretty much anywhere.
But people shouldn't take it just on and on and on and on.
Right, right. Only when needed, sure.
When you need it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. This is even broader of a question. I don't really know how you can even answer this because, again, this kind of question pertains to, you know, whatever your ailment is and whatever your background is, you know. But nevertheless, this is from George in Iowa. He says, I'm afraid to take prescription medications, as a pharmacist once told me, that they have side effects, well, they all do, and should be avoided. So he asks, what does holistic medicine substitute for the infinite number of prescription drugs? Well, yeah, there's an infinite number of substitutes. That's a really hard question to ask.
Well, first of all, I don't think that the medications per se are bad. I mean, there are uses for the different medications, and to blanketly say that all medications, all pharmaceuticals are bad, is stretching the point. All of the medications that we see now have their share of side effects, and you can read about them. And a lot of them you just don't want to take. But on the other hand, there are lives that have been saved by pharmaceuticals. So it's not the problem isn't with the pharmaceutical itself. It's why we think we're doing this. If we're really in the process of working with health and helping ourselves heal ourselves, there are times when we need antibiotics. There are times when we need pain medicine. There are times when we need surgery. I had to have my hip replaced. I had done everything under the sun that I could think of and could do, and I still had problems with my right hip.
No cartilage.
So when I was 89, I had to have my hip replaced. It turned out I had a congenital malformation that was...
Did you say when you were 89?
Yeah.
As in years old?
Yeah. I'm 92 now.
You're kidding.
I'm not. I was born in 1920. That makes me 92, doesn't it?
Good heavens. You sound like maybe in your 50s or something. Wow.
Well, thank you.
I'm blown away. That's incredible. Right. I mean, just the sound of your voice, your vibrance is testimony that you're doing something good. Wow. That's very impressive. I would never have guessed that you were even in your 70s, never mind. That's amazing.
Well, I think that's a very nice compliment.
I'm totally blown. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are blown away, too. I would never have guessed. So you had you probably had lost some of your cartilage, huh, in your hip?
Well, no, yeah, I needed to have it replaced, and it set me free. I mean, I was in a wheelchair. Now I can go any place. I've been to Afghanistan and India and all around. And
wow.
It, you know, there are times when it's like I had a patient.
I know a woman. She's not even 50 yet, and she just had a hip replacement last month. She's already back on her feet again, and she feels like a million bucks.
Yeah. There are times when it's really important. You know, I had a patient, a man who absolutely said he wasn't going to have surgery, and the problem that he was facing was going to kill him. I mean, it really, he either was going to have surgery or he was going to die. And he said no, he just absolutely didn't want surgery. So I talked to him different ways. And finally, I said to him, do you know anything about gardening, about trees? And he says, yeah, I'm a gardener. And I said, well, when you prune a tree, do you cut out the part of the tree because it's bad, or do you cut it out because what you're trying to do is bring the life force of that tree into it so that it's healthier and it can live better and it has a better tree life? He said, well, yeah, that's why I do it. And I said, well, could you think about this process that you're going through right now as something that is not serving you, and it's keeping you from living your life to the fullest, and if you can get rid of it, then you can live your life. And with that in mind, he was able to get the surgery. It's a matter of why we're doing things. One of the things I like to ask my patients is, why do you want to get well? What do you have to get well for? You know, there are reasons for being well.
Sure.
And if you've got a lot of things that you still got to do, then let's get well and get on with it.
Sure. You've got to want it. And if you want it, you know, that's going to put you in a positive mind frame right there. That alone has a lot to do with it. It's not just diet. It's not just exercise. It's your frame of mind.
Absolutely.
Here's an important question, and this is something that I focused on quite a bit, too, in my research. I didn't get a name for the person that asked this, but anyway, today's modern diet and lifestyle, the questioner typed, have created a collective acid environment in our bodies. Our bodies are, you know, highly acidic because of diet and whatnot. Anyway, they ask, do you agree that unless we address the pH of the body, that our attempts at healing ourselves will be in vain? And, you know, how much of an importance do you place on balancing pH in the body, they're asking?
I think it's important. Yeah, the body heals better in an alkaline pH. An acid pH is harder for the body to heal in.
Right.
But I don't think anything is in vain. I think that I've watched people heal when I thought there was no way that they would get well, but they find something to get well for, and they get well. And so when we say it's in vain, I wouldn't go that far. But the healing environment for a body is slightly alkaline pH, and so you don't want it too alkaline. You don't want it, but
right.
Acid.
The other extreme. But definitely, you know, because of most people's diets today, they're high on the acid side, and that's not a good situation.
Well, sweets and sugars and white flour and all of that just leads to an acid pH.
Start getting a lot of dark leafy greens in your diet. That'll help with your pH balance there. Anyway, we've covered a lot of important topics here. I hope that people are taking notes, and you know, just a few simple changes can make all the biggest difference. And of course, exercise. You know,
and breathing.
Sure.
Keep lots of breathing.
And you know, something I focus on too is the importance of sweating. Most people.
Oh, absolutely.
Want to suppress that and avoid that, but the truth is, sweating is probably just as important as the other body's elimination methods. You know, you got to get your excess salts out of your system, and sweating really is the only way to do that. Obviously, you don't want to do it when you're on a date, but you know, when you're out exercising, sweat away, let it out. You got to, you know, that's an important function of the body.
Yeah.
Don't shy away from it. Who cares if you're sick when you're out alone?
Let kids run around and play and sweat and all that.
Yeah. It's very important. Absolutely. Yeah. Anyway, I think we got one more call, and then that's probably going to do it. One more call, one more question. No, I guess not. I thought we did, but I guess that's about it. So I think it is time to wind down here. I want to thank you for coming on, Dr. McGarry. Do you have a website or anything that people can go and check out your work? Your books,
McGarryFoundation.org.
Okay, McGarryFoundation.org, and that's spelled McGarey, McGarryFoundation.org.
Right.
And there's information they can get your books through that website as well?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, thanks again, Dr. McGarry, for coming on, and keep up the great work.
Thank you. Thank
you. You bet. Okay, folks, that's it for this week. We'll see you again next week. We're going to have another great guest, Joe Monteldo. He's the co-founder and international director, as well as spokesperson for ICAR, or the International Committee for Alien Research. So that should be interesting. Join us next week. Until then, have a great week, folks. Take care.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.